Amen, amen. Amen, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank you and we come before you knowing that we can worship you and God, come together as a family and just cry out to you and know that you hear us and that you care. I just pray you would just touch each one of us this morning and just stir in our hearts as we look at your word, God, and what you're trying to tell us, what you're trying to speak to us, and just help us to see, God. And we thank you, Lord, as we come before you, that in your mighty power you reached down and you touched us, Lord, and so we give thanks to you. And so, Lord, just open our hearts to hear from you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I forgot to say, anoint me that I speak only words of the Spirit. I had never missed that. I don't want to leave it out. It would just be over for it. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at James 4:4. We're going through the book of James, y'all remember? James 4:4. This is a verse that you'd love to put up on your refrigerator. James 4:4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Lordy be. You know, I started to entitle the message like, who do you love? That would have been, who do you love? And you think about where this verse is. We're going through James that we know in the context just previously what we looked at last week. It's okay, here are these hindrances to prayer. You know, you need that, but here are the hindrances. So it says that now it flows into this with it's like, oh my goodness. You know, so that's in context. That whole thing was in context. How you pray, come before me, you have not because you ask not. You know, however, you know, you can't be fighting and quarreling and stuff like that because that's the reason your prayers aren't answered. Then he goes into this verse, all in context. So it's all in context. So what we see here, what we see is we look in James and you think the whole book to James together, but what we see in James right here is God desires a wholehearted, unobstructed relationship with his people. That's what he wants. He wants that type of relationship with his people. And by its very nature, then, he wants the relationship with his people, okay? Well, by its very nature, what he said, our friendship with the world is adulterous hatred towards God. To have a warm and familiar attitude towards the evil of this world is to be on good terms with God's enemy. So when a person deliberately chooses to be a friend of the world, by that choice, they become an enemy of God. So you think, okay, this you know, this is communicating a real attitudinal, relational concept that the Lord has with his people. It's very relational here. And God desiring that relationship, but also when he looks like, that relationship is not where it's supposed to be, you know. So this, you know, when you look at this and you read it, so it may seem like shocking. It's like, oh my goodness, it just seems shocking. Because God is saying, no, if you love the world, you're my enemy. And so it's very clear what he's talking about, what he's saying here. Now, so he just says it here in James. That just flat out says it. Well, what we know from the rest of Scripture, and we look at Scripture, that to understand this dynamic, for us to understand this dynamic of God's desired relationship with believers, he uses something to show us what it's like. This is, anybody want to guess what it is? God uses an example to show what this relationship. If you love the world, You're my enemy. But I'm going to give you an example of something, of the relationship I want. I want. So I give you an example. You know what he gives us? The marriage. The marriage relationship. That's what he gives. Okay, I'm going to give you the marriage. Now I'll show you what I expect. And it's on earth for everybody to see. It's on earth for everybody to see. See, God uses the God-ordained marriage to help us understand the relationship God wants with us and has with us. The marriage relationship gives us a full picture of the full and intimate relationship that God desires with his people. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says. The apostle, are y'all with me right here? Okay? Because he's made this statement, you adulterous people, love the world, you're the enemy of God. I mean, it's like, oh, okay. You know, what in the world does this entail? So the Apostle Paul, when he's sharing the gospel and he talks to people, and by the way, this is to believers. It's the folks in the church he's talking to, okay? Because it's the ones who he already has a relationship with that are falling in love with the world around them. That's who he's talking about. And so the Apostle Paul, when he addresses the Corinthian church, when you look at the Corinthian church, I mean, they totally went off the rails, you know. They're believers, but this went off the rails. And Paul says to them, and again, have this, he says, no, what, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand what God did? Do you understand how God feels? Do you understand how he feels about you? And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 11:2. Paul goes, you know, we could go, what are you doing? Paul goes, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. God's eyes, this is the picture of Christ in the church. Now, that's how he looks at it. Now, we get it all messed up, but this is how he looks at it. We get marriage all messed up, but this is how he looks at it. And so he says, well, I'm trying to, you know, give you something to work with and what I created, and it's supposed to reflect me, and I'm jealous of you. Paul goes, I'm jealous of you. Why? Because you're loving something else. You're loving something else. He didn't say, oh, you're not following these rules. He didn't say that. Nor does he say that when he talks about it. He's going, no, you're loving somebody else. See, that's the key, is where the heart is, where the heart is. Now, the correlation between the marriage relationship and God's desired relationship with us is further revealed in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 32. Now, it's the marriage relationship. Now, as we look at this, the marriage, the Christian marriage relationship is a picture of the church's living relationship with Christ. It's a picture of the church's living relationship with Christ. Now, so when we look at these verses and they apply and they're focused on the physical relationship on this earth, a marriage between a man and woman. And so that's a truth, but we want to focus on this morning, kind of focus on that it's the relationship between the church and Christ. So I want us to kind of look on that. I love to preach on these verses and give them the opportunity. I will, you know. It's just a lot of fun. And they're true, but I want us to be thinking, no, he's talking about our relationship with the Lord. Now remember what we talked about. He's you adulterous people. love the world, you're my enemy. So it's like, oh my gosh. So let's look at this and to understand and think about our own relationship with Christ. Our own relationship with Christ. Okay, so I'm going to read Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. It says, wives, submit to your own husband. Now, we should have a whole message on that. We could just have so much fun with that one. But I want you to see something. And this, to me, okay, this to me really helps when you get of what God is trying to communicate and have us understand. And look at what he's trying to have us understand. He's trying to have us understand him. You see what he's doing? He's trying to have us to understand him. And so I want us to look at this. And there's one little thing in here that it makes a difference to me because it gives a better context. But maybe I'm overstating it. But I want you, do you see where it says, wives, submit? You see that? That word submit is not there. It's not in the original. There's no word there. There's no word. It's a blank. There's no word there. It doesn't say why submit. Now, however, it is inferred from the previous verse. And when you look at it as inferred from the previous verse, you see it, well, this, what's inferred in the previous verse, accounts to all the verses below it, not just one, the whole thing. You see what I'm saying? So what's inferred? So how many, ladies, go ahead and mark out submit. Just mark it out. You go, no, ain't there, you know. So your husband says submit. You go, no, ain't there, buddy. Okay, not quite. But this is how it reads. Okay, to start, this is helpful. This is how it reads. That's verse 22, wives submit. The section starts in verse 21. It starts in verse 21. Listen to this. It says this. Submit to one another, wives to your husbands. That's how it reads. Submit to one another. Okay, let me give you a whole list of things. We're going to go on bondservants. We're going to go on kids. We're going to go everything. It says submit one to another. And it starts with wives, submit to your husband. They're just the first in the list. They're not the only one in the list. Y'all with me? They're the first on the list. They're not the only one in the list. Now, ladies, I don't know. I'm giving you a lot of ammunition here. If you just take hold of it. Submit. Say, listen. I'm just the first on the list. But everybody's on the list. Right? See? It's like, it really does well to know your scriptures. And use them in a godly way, weren't they? So anyway, so it reads like this. Again, he's talking about loving the world and becoming his enemy. And the marriage relationship says, no, I want a relationship with you like the marriage relationship. So this is a picture of relationship God wants with us. And it says, okay, submit to one another, wives to your own husbands, as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. All right? Now, I want you to notice something in this section, this whole section. Note the terms here. Note the terms here. Okay? The terms are as unto the Lord, even as Christ. Christ the Savior. What's the forefront? What's the forefront to the wife's responsibility? Jesus. It's all Jesus. This is all about Jesus. See, wives, listen, this is all about Jesus. And the first thing, you got to have this focus on Jesus. I mean, he could have left all that out, you know, but said, no, it can't be left out. For it to work, it has to have Jesus in it. You see what I'm saying? For it to work, it has to have Jesus in it. has to have Jesus in it. Now, the next verse, marriage relationship, our relationship with God. The full force of this correlation comes in verse 25. Okay, this is it. This is the time where I tell Rich I want him to do a drum roll. Okay, this is it. This is the verse. Ephesians 5:25. We're just in the cementing thing, right? Verse 21. Wives? In the cementing thing. Oh, you're the first on the cementing thing. Number two on the cementing thing is the guys. They're on the list. And this is what it says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And all the ladies said, go ahead, say it. Amen, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh man, you want to talk to me about cement? Okay, buddy, come here. Come here. You love me like Jesus. Now, I actually went through that. When Linda and this actually happened, God did it, and I praise Jesus for it. Now, but we're separated. And so Linda she just said, we're done, we're finished, I don't love you. Now she said, that's just what she said, I don't love you. I'm going, what? How could you not love me? there could be only one problem in this equation. I'm just lovable. You know, why could she say, just don't love me, you know? And then so I wasn't going to church, but I had read the Bible 3 times, but I hadn't gone to church. So I thought, well, God, what do you do? And for some reason, I read this section. I said, I got to know what to do. I don't know what to do. The whole thing's falling apart. I mean, she's totally gone off the rails. Then love me. What do you do? You know, I read this. God knows why. You know, as I'm searching through, maybe this causes marriage, and I read it, and this is what happened. It went like this: husband, love your wives, like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And he goes, now this is one of the times God really spoke to me. He said, husbands, love your wife. I said, God, she doesn't love me. That's the problem, not me. She doesn't love me. And I swear, this was the divine word from him. He goes, so? Did that make any difference? I said, but that's not fair. That's not fair. I mean, you can't, it's her fault. Her fault, you know? And then he says, no, you need to love her like Christ loved the church. I said, well, then I want to see how Christ loved the church, so I'll know how to love her. What does it mean? And so I look in the scripture, you can find, and it says, he loves the church. He died for it. Well, that's certainly not fair. She don't love me, and I got to die for her. I mean, this is going no place fast. Okay, Jesus, I'm in for this salvation thing, but I don't like the fine print. And I said, but she doesn't love me. He showed me another verse. And you just flipped. It was funny, and I didn't know anything. I did read the Bible, so I knew something in the Bible, but I wasn't going to church. And then it says, God, that's not fair. And then you know what else it says? It says, Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners. I'm having this conversation with God. I'm having this conversation. Listen, this is just not right. It's not fair. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But I did one thing, and I praise God for the one thing I did. I said, it makes no sense. But I almost did like this. Okay, if this is what you're calling it out, fine. I'll show you. I'll just do it. You know, just I'm aggravated at God. Okay, I'll show you. You know, and so what I did is like, no matter what she did, I would do what I knew to love her, no matter. And she would say, I don't love you. Whatever, you're not supposed to. I got to do this. Oh, yeah, and the thing, when you read Ephesians, this is the craziest thing I ever saw. Because I really started going to Ephesians. This really bugged me. Do you realize that in Ephesians, it doesn't tell the wife to love the husband? Why, how can you just sit there like that? No, I mean, what are you talking about? I'm here by myself. And it's like, well, that debt, you don't put nothing on her. You know? And it's like, all right, I'll show you God. And so I would, and it will. And have you, you know, you think how marriage couples getting tit for tat little arguments? Oh, you ought to be separated. Oh, we'll show you tit for tat. You know? And so she was just being totally unreasonable, sarcastic, and everything else. So, sorry, dear. And I said, I got to love you anyway. Okay. So I tried to be nice. I would try to do the right thing. And I tried to be, no matter what she would say, I would always go the extra mile. I'd always try to have a conversation. I always interact. And I never get mad a few times. One time, I got to tell you this, one time, because the kids really got a kick out of it. I went to the house. I worked good. And she was being her irritating self. And we talked. And I finally, I was sailing. I didn't get mad or nothing. And I walked outside. I sat in the car. And outside, and I just took as long as I could, and I just screamed and hauled off and hit the dash and caved the whole dash in on my car. Caved it in. I mean, caved that dash in. And the kids came out and said, Dad, what happened to you? And I said, oh, I got upset your mom. Oh, they thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Look what Dad did. He's upset the mom just can't beat the car in like that. Anyway, so I want you to know, I'm telling you about this verse. This verse that was just unreasonable. Now, after we're doing well now, but after her giving me no slack for 2 years, I mean no slack, and then she makes a comment. This is just fun now, but. But she, one day she says, well, I won't give you the whole story, but I laid it out. And I says, we need to work this out, you know. And she's called me at work and says, we need to talk. So she drove up. I won't tell you where it was, but that'd be even more interesting to the story. And I get in, and this is what she said to me. She goes, I don't love you. I'll never love you, but you can come home. What an offer. Oh, my God. What an offer. What does the verse say? Love her like Christ. I mean, only Christ could live with that woman, but... And so we went back. So we went back and we came together like that. And probably the next 3 months were the worst 3 months of my entire life in the same house. In the same house, okay. But then it gradually got better. So all I say, and then voila, we're here. Yeah, so we get a hand, right? I mean, voila, we're here. Oh, my gosh. And that's when I was telling you, I've told you before, that's when my prayer, God changed that woman. And anyway, and God told me, no, he pointed out me. He had changed me, you know. And the first thing, he said, no, you do what I said. Now, the lesson there is I didn't know anything, but I did what I said about what I knew. Huge lesson there, you know. So it did that. Anyway, so here we are. Here we are with this verse. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. What is he talking about in this relationship? His relationship with the church. What did he demonstrate with Linda and I? Not any cooperation on my part, but what did he demonstrate with Linda and I? Christ in the church. Christ in the church. And Linda said something to me that I've used from now on. Women, you'll love this. And she came to know the Lord. She didn't know the Lord. That's the other thing. When we got back, she didn't know the Lord. And she came back. So it's like, oh, I knew Jesus, and I can now she didn't know Jesus. You know. But it came out, and then she came back to know the, and after a year, she came to know the Lord. She didn't change, but she came to know the Lord. And she never told me. She didn't tell me. And I asked her, I said, why didn't you tell me? She said, well, I wasn't telling you. None of your business what I do. You know, so she came to know the Lord. All right. Now, and I asked her, no, she's telling somebody else. But anyway, she says, why did you give it a shot and come back? And she says, no matter what I did, he loved me. And this is her words. And it was like a magnet that drew me. Now, I didn't know that. I thought we had the opposite ends of the magnet going there and it's flying apart as far as I was concerned. But that was her words. Now, what's the lesson? What's the lesson? He goes, I said, she doesn't love me. I said, that doesn't make any difference. You love her. And what he didn't say, you love her and she'll love you back. Ladies, how many of you go amen here? You see, the world's got this all screwed up. Really big time. So the Bible was there, and I didn't have that second part that she'd love me back. You love her like Christ loved the church, and you have hell the rest of your life. That was kind of my view of it. Okay? So I just was obedient to my part. And then he revealed the other part. And so, just to let you know, I do marriage counseling all the time. I wish you that verse. I start off with that verse, ladies. Anybody that knows, if a couple knows me, the lady said, let's go talk to Wallace. The guy said, I don't want to go. Because they know they're going to get it. They're going to get it, you know. And so, and I'm not saying you ladies are perfect. But what I'm saying, God works powerfully through the men in the church. He's the protector. He's self-sacrificing to the woman. The woman, you have it, ladies, just want to let you know, you have a tendency to respond. Oh, by the way, I'll let you know something about guys. Guys don't respond. They do a lot. They might get mad and take a swing at you, but they don't respond. You got that? They don't. Well, I'll just wait on him hand and foot, and one day he'll respond. Won't happen. He'll think, I got a good thing going. See what else you can do. I'm just telling you how guys think. That's just how guys think. Ladies, I'm just telling you. You know, I always thought, I'm really getting off base here. Oh, this women's lib stuff. Women don't know men. Well, we want women to do this, anything. You know what the guys are saying? Have at it, baby. Good. You know, we're loading bricks and want these women. You let her have it. What does the guy do? Take all you want. Take my load. Okay, look at her work. They don't respond. You see what I'm saying? They do not respond like a woman responds. Like a woman responds. So Jesus says, love her like Christ loved the church. The whole thing's answered. The whole thing's answered. It's all answered. And it's a picture of Christ in the church. And it says in the Bible, we love because he first loved us. That's why we love. As the church, we respond to his love. See? And he's, how's that work? Works in the church. Watch it in the church. And I've set it up so people can see it work in the church. They can see me in the church. And the world wants to screw that up because the devil knows you can see it in the church. All God's people said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, ladies, ain't time to open the doors. Anyone come counsel? You got to bring him with you, though. Now, what we have here, God makes clear that his desired relationship with believers is a love relationship as revealed in marriage, as God meant marriage to be. Marriage is way bigger than we think it is. Way holier than we think it is. Okay? Listen to 5:32. Ask me how many times you heard this preached on. Ephesians 5:32. Coming in. It's ending and up. Here it is, 5:32, all connected. Ephesians 5:30, he says that this mystery is profound, Wallace. This mystery is profound. And I'm saying that marriage refers to Christ and the church. He's talking about Ephesians chapter 5. What's he talking about? Christ and the church. It's a mystery. It's Christ. And God is saying, this is how I work. This is how I work. Now, what it does, well, you got the crazy men, you got the crazy women, you got these messed up marriages, and all Satan is going, I got it. Nobody will ever figure out what God's relationship, because I can mess up all these marriages. And they'll say, that's not what I want. So it's really important that we understand the biggest picture. Now, the marriage, it's a profound mystery. It refers to Christ and the church. And so as a result, what we should, as we approach the marriage relationship, we're going, okay, how's God building Christ and the church in our relationship? Now, see, the whole vision's changed. Whole vision's changed. Everything's changed. Now, God is showing in a very relational way that we, the church, are to be devoted to Christ because he died for us. That's the motivation. He died for us. We should just, oh my God. He did his part. He loved us. Now he says, do your part. Do your part. Now, you got all this? Y'all with me? All this? Now listen. Therefore, as with physical unfaithfulness, God regards spiritual unfaithfulness as adultery. Why does he use that word? It's adultery. He goes, you're supposed to love me. You love in the world. You're supposed to love me. Love in the world, it's adultery to me. It makes me hostile to you. See, it's like, oh my goodness. So when you look at that, so we know when we look at this, and again, remember where we started off with in James of loving the world. No husband or wife would be pleased with less than an exclusive relationship. God will never be satisfied with partial devotion. It doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. God makes a strong statement. People who want friendship with the world indicates that they are God's enemy. As a result, the following verse 5, tells us the scriptures declare God's desire for our faithfulness. So here's 4. He just said, no, that's what we've done here. You're loving the world. You know, you're not loving me. So now in verse 5, he said, I want you to love me. Now listen to this verse, James 4:5.
That's a real word that's there in the Greek. Or, going back to verse 4, makes you hostile to you. Loving the world makes you hostile with God. Or something else, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? He yearns jealously over the spirit. Now, here we are. Bear with me. This verse is the most difficult verse to translate in the whole book. That's commentators. So the most difficult verse to translate the way it's written. And it's also one of the most important verses. So it's got a lot going on there. So now what we have here, various translations have been suggested. So I've looked at a bunch of them, the different suggestions of how to translate this verse. I mean, they're all in the ballpark, but they just have a different bent to them. So in verse 4, we know that James has accused his readers of spiritual unfaithfulness. We know that. That's clear. See, it is natural, therefore, to expect that in verse 5, for God to speak, for it to speak of God's jealous, now, see, use the word jealous, of God's jealous longing for his people to love. Now, it's important to use jealousy there. God is a jealous God. People say, well, God can't be jealous. Yeah, he can. How do you know that? The Bible says he can, all right? Don't just leave it there. So God is jealous. He has a jealous longing for his people's love. And there are Old Testament passages that refer to God's jealously desiring devotion to his people. In fact, there's a bunch of them. They use the word, a bunch of them, Old Testament, jealously desiring his people. Look at Exodus 25. I just pulled this one out. You shall not bow down to idols and serve them, for the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God. What are they doing? They're worshiping an idol. He's, I'm jealous. No, I'm jealous. Interesting word. So God is a jealous husband who will not tolerate adultery on the part of his bride. Folks, he's talking to people in the church. Well, I know so-and-so. No, he's talking about us. He's us. He said, you're supposed to fall in love with me. You're supposed to fall in love with me. If you don't follow, I'm not going to tolerate your adultery. Or I'm not going to answer your prayers. No, you're home in heaven. But no, you kind of jealous of you. You've rejected me. You rejected me. So, looking at the... Now, you're with me right here. How the flow, you get all the stuff going on and say, forget where we're... No, he's saying you love the world. The church loves the world. Okay? And it's not what you're doing. I mean, it's what you're doing. But your heart. Where's your heart? You love the things. And by the way, there's all sorts of New Testaments. First John, I started quoting First John. I thought, we don't have enough time. Aren't you glad I said that? Because it's really fascinating where it talks about they hate the world. You know, it's a whole thing. It goes through. Anyway, there's a lot of other scripture we can look at. So what we have here, you're loving the world, and I desire you. I jealously desire you, and you love the world. And you, because you love the world, you're making yourself an enemy of mine. An enemy. So, what I did, I looked at the various translations, and I really believe, and this is kind of a paraphrase, but it has some interesting on-point translations I've used before, but I believe that the New Century Version of the Bible really clearly captures the meaning of verse 5. I think it really captures the whole meaning, which is God desiring the love of his people who have fallen into the world. So hear this, James 4:5. This is central, New Century Version. Do you think the scriptures means nothing? Do you think the scripture means nothing that says, okay, this is what it says, the spirit that God made to live in us wants us with intense jealousy for himself alone? That's why. What's the answer? What's the answer? I just want you to love me back. I just want you to love me. And if you love me back, and you really love it, it impacts your behavior because we love God. Notice, no rules but relationship. The royal law of love, which he's already told us about, and then I've mentioned before, 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Well, I don't know if God loves me. Well, then you can't love. You can't love. You can't love unless you know he loves you. Well, how do you you need to understand what he did for you. He died for you. If he's the only person in the world, he died. He gives all of the universe to you, his hands. He wants to wrap around you. And you say, oh my God, I love you. Now. Okay. Now. That's what I want. I want you. I want you. How many of your spouses? I've heard of spouses on both ends say this. And say this. What do you want? In the marriage, I just want him. I just want her. What does that mean? There's no devotion. There's no connection. There's no meeting, you know? So it's like, well, how's that work within you? Walk with God, and he'll teach you how to do it. And he'll say, husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. I go, you got to be kidding me. You got to, that's what you love. You die for her. You die for her. That's what you're supposed to do. That it? That's all? Okay. And then said, wives, where are you going? His wife, he is giving all he has. He's dying for you. You need to come under that protection. Give him a shot. Support him in loving you. Do you see how that works? Then you got a dynamic that reflects Christ. It's all here. It's all here. So here's a Christian challenge. See that God loves us, and therefore we should love him back. Now, John 3:16 has a totally different meaning. You know what this is, but it has a totally different meaning. Meaning from God's point of view. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And we'll just put period there. For God so loved the world. And I want you to love me back. See, we could do that. God so loved the world. Just love me back. And he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Think of your own relationship. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life. He goes, how can you not love me if you understand that? How could you not love me? You love the world. You know, that makes me hostile to you. Now, people tell you that doesn't happen. That's just because they don't read the Bible. This makes stuff up. He said, it makes me hostile to you. Hallelujah. But aren't we all deeply in love with each other and Christ? Amen? Amen? Powerful word. But watch here, and what's really important, you walk out here. Here's the source of the power of God working in the church. There it is. There's the power of God right there working in. God says, oh man, I got this. I'll go. These people love me. I'll show myself. I'll show myself. Because they love me. They love me. How do you know it? Because they love each other. I can tell it. I can tell it. It's like, oh my. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, when we look at this, when we first look at this, it makes no sense whatsoever. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's the possibilities. It's not clear. You say, no, do it. Read the word. Come to me. And you will see the fruit. You will see the fruit. Thy will be done on earth. You'll see it on earth. You will see the fruit. And this is what I'm trying to do. And you can see me and what I'm trying to do by the marriage relationship. By your marriage relationship. Because it's a picture. It's a picture of me. It's a picture of Christ and the church. You know, that kind of makes it for all eternity. Like it didn't quit. God, we just thank you. We give all things to you. And Lord, please, you know, you be our teacher. You love us. You just pour out your grace upon us. You want to teach us in everything. You want to lead us in every step. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank that we're covered in your blood. We're totally forgiven. Totally forgiven, standing cleansed before you. And God, we just call out, lead us and guide us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.